From Saturday, the 31st of December, 1988, your favorite radio station, 103.7 KISS FM, will have a brand new sound. Until then, KISS FM will continue to play Ulster's best music, 24 hours per day.
FM 103.7 is stereo. We are KISS FM, Monaghan Town.
This is KISS 103.7, keeping you company over the holiday season. I'm Susan Charles, and this afternoon, or this evening, as I said, I'm not sure what time this is going out over the air, we're talking to Miles Johnson, who is the engineer for KISS and responsible for the wonderful signal that you're listening to this afternoon, wherever you may be.
We had hoped to be on the air around about November 1987. We were on the air with test transmissions over a year ago. Various forms of brain-dead airhead incompetence prevented us from getting on as early as we could have, and we finally aired in April of this year, 1988. Essentially, KISS FM was to generate a form of music into Northern Ireland which had not been heard before, and at the same time give the people of Cavan and Monaghan a good time, because it was the only form of pop radio really between the three main cities of Ireland. That's Cork has its pop stations, Dublin has its pop stations, Belfast has nothing except Radio 1. So it was in order to provide something of popular appeal to younger people, that is between sort of 20-ish and 45-ish. In other words, if you're 45 and you still like the Rolling Stones, you're not completely dead. Conway Twitty's a decent guy and Big Tom's great, but the Rolling Stones are better.
Now, it's all very nice for us to be broadcasting on the air and say, this is the station you're listening to, we're putting out 1.2 million watts. That may not mean a lot to a listener. Can you explain that in layman terms, what that's all about?
Essentially, we are far away from Belfast and other areas. One way of getting there is to put together a few bits of power, and to do that, normally one is licensed to broadcast. Or if you live in Ireland, abnormally, one is licensed, because RTE don't even have a license. God bless them, Millennium Radio, great bunch of guys. They have one, but nobody else has. The idea was to put, in order to hit the most populated area of the island north of Dublin, you have to broadcast over 60 miles of terrain. That means, technically, you have to hit over the horizon with watts of power. The only way of doing that is to go over the megawatt, and that's what we've done.
And it's obviously resulted in numerous calls from various points in England and Scotland over the months.
Yes, you can pick this station up for the next few minutes. 60 miles east of Stranraer on any reasonable day, you can pick us up in Edinburgh on FM. If you're listening on the AM, hopefully we will. I'd like to say hello to listeners in Norway, in Finland and Sweden who are listening to us on the daytime. On 1413 kilohertz AM, which is a Soviet clear channel, which we are occupying and just keeping the bounds of northern Western Europe a little bit entertained.
Oh, I think without making this sound too sort of in-sided or in-station, as it were, there are a lot of radio enthusiasts in various points of the world, especially Europe, that will pick up radio stations on the AM band or medium wave, as it were. And they respond to that, yeah. and send in reports to let us know that they have heard, and then we send off to them what is called a QSL to let them know that we did, in fact, receive their letter.
It was great in the early days when we were on 1008 kilohertz to receive calls from the East-West German border, people in England, everywhere, just calling in saying hello. It was great to hear that people were listening to us then. We had a 50,000-watt AM transmitter lined up to go on the air. Unfortunately, Mr. Ray Burke has decided that we won't use it, and he's a hell of a decent guy, even if he does have his faults.
Has your involvement in broadcasting affected your choice or influence of music in any way?
Yes, it's allowed me to listen and hear a lot more music which otherwise you wouldn't hear on the heavily formatted Radio 1 service, which is a reasonable service. In the UK, that's all you have. The ILRs and other stations, this is technical radio jargon here, but essentially the local radio stations, downtown, whatever they are, anywhere else, even RTE or whoever, are fundamentally monopoly music outlets for the music industry, which has done the music industry good. It's done it reasonable. But if you have this endless luxury exposed to you, it means that you promote the easiest product. And I think that there has been a sad lacking of good, credible album product promoted in the UK, in the British Isles. That is exposing a lot of good artists to reasonable airplay, to sell reasonable quantities of their records, which people want to hear. The idea of having a manufactured bop band, which is just there for 1 year or 6 months to make some quick profits for an executive in a record company, I think is a bad idea. And I think they're beginning to learn that lesson with the advent of the CD, and they're now realizing that they can't get the CDs played on Radio 1 because it's AM. And there is not the airplay for the CD market that they need. So the record industry has finally nudged the Musicians Union and the copyright people and the Needle Time people and said, well, yes, we want to sell more product. Could you please give us FM radio? And if it hadn't been for that, you wouldn't be having FM radio, because radio is still controlled, like it or not, by the music industry, as opposed to the radio stations just playing what people want to hear. Free format radio rule, which goes back to CFNY-FM, which is something about New York and Canada and telling people to take their format and put it places.
Something, I suppose, that was also started with the good old history of Radio Caroline, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary in 1989.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Radio Caroline was there for, to play music to people who wanted to listen to music, as opposed to the record industry pumping it down your throat with Radio Luxembourg.
What is one of your most fondest memories of 1988 and your involvement with KISS?
I think the fondest memory is finally getting 6 kilowatts out of our 5 kilowatt transmitter on the FM, which at that time was putting out a paltry 600,000 watts, which was 600 times more powerful than local broadcasters. Subsequently going over the megawatt, which has never been done before except for some damn station who owned the Radio North Sea International in Europe, but we'll forget about them.
And what happens when you achieve something like that? Do engineers sort of do, you know, dance jigs on top of the mountain beneath the transmitter?
Well, you've got to be very careful on our mountaintop, because if you dance jigs, you'll probably sink 6 feet into the mud and slime of post-glacial slime left over by the Ice Age, which has been kind enough to give us an 800-foot mountain right on the border, beaming into Belfast with nothing else in between.
So it's not a starry celebrity position, as some people might think.
Well, I mean, I'm only saying this because obviously people know that I'm a celebrity and I'm a real star, and I don't want to give them the illusion that I'm a contemptible asshole.
We have one final choice, one final selection that you've made, Miles, in your top five, which is very significant. And it's entitled The RTE Jam Rap, which you talked a little bit about later. Tell us a bit more about the song and why it's so significant to you.
Well, it's incredible that the actual rap behind the RTE Jam Rap was actually a piss take by Mel Brooks of Hitler and the Gestapo and the anti-thought people who don't like people thinking freely. But then that might get too heavy, so it was suitably diluted, made funny by Mel Brooks. And at the time when a lot of people, great people, talented people in the news, Jenny McIver, many people, I don't want to name them, but great people working in a great radio station called Radio Nova, and KISS FM, even the likes of Stephanie Callister, Dennis Murray, Roland Burke, Paddy Cannan, people like that, all working in a radio station, all subsequently put out of work. Tom Hardy, who's he? Were all put out of work by individuals who decided, you will not have this freedom of choice. You will listen to what we say, what we think, and you will not think otherwise. So people put together this jam rap about RTE at the time, who are a credible broadcaster. They, I think, were not really, it wasn't, they were just defending what they wanted. They wanted the exclusivity of the airwaves. They have now faced up to the fact that there will be competition on the airwaves. And the best of luck to them, and they now acknowledge that. Great, at the time they thought that people shouldn't listen to anything else other than them, shouldn't have freedom of choice, shouldn't have the freedom to choose what they want to listen to and what to think to. So they jammed the stations for 3 months, putting a lot of people off the air, giving a lot of hassle.
And perhaps explain to our listeners what jamming involves.
Yes, jamming means taking away, jamming is switching on transmitters on somebody else's wavelength. The only other person who did that in these islands was a guy called John Stonehouse and the Labour government, and look what happened to them. But then I didn't want to go into the ITS. They did it to Radio North Sea International, and who knows what may happen in the future.
So who was actually responsible for recording the RTE jam rap?
A guy called Colm Hayes, who is presently on RTE and was on Nova and KISS at the time. And they put this together, and Roland mixed it in Swift Studios in Dublin, and it has not been heard since. And so here it is now.
And do you not think that it's very significant that as an engineer that would be one of your top choices of music?
A lot of what it says at the moment is a lot of what it said then, 2, 3, 4 years ago, is very relevant now. Just change the name to KISS FM and you'll get the meaning.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome along to the RTE Jam Rap with the Reardon Stone and the backing vocals on it, all in themselves, like. And the RTE Philharmonic Orchestra, well, most of it, due to the economic cutbacks, were reduced down to a mere kettle drum. Ah, so now, Julia, you can make your cup of tea.
All right, George, but I thought we were going to listen to the new single from Bosco.
Ah, no, you old garden gnomes. Isn't he the one with the funny dresses? What sings for the culture club like?
Well, hi there, people. You know me. I run a little station called RTE. We're the number one where we used to be. Until Ireland got Lana with Chris Carey. He opened up a station and he called it Nova. And he gave it to the people for free. Oh, well, I mean to say, you must agree. Here at RTE, nothing is free. Except for empty promises, which we always break. And mind you, one day I gave a drunk mistake. Well, that doesn't matter. I was out to get Nova. As soon as it started, it was taken over. They had clutter free and favorites too. And a big transmitter that made me blue. My own sons and daughters listen all day, and my wife would sway the Nova way.
What the hell's going on? They didn't say anything about backing vocalists to me. We'd never be able to afford them. It's what? Something got to do with equity. I give them equity. Equity behind bars.
Did somebody mention Madigan's?
Oh, George, how could you think that way? I thought we were living in a free space.
You're kicking the wheels in a Tipperary tractor. We moved last year. This is a corporation estate.
That was it. I'd had enough. I decided that I was gonna play rough. I suddenly had me the greatest plan. I was gonna give them that RTE jam. Well, things started getting pretty bad, and all the people in the city were very sad. They all called me crazy and raving mad, when all the time they should have been very glad. So I decided to grow me a black moustache, and there and then give it one final bash. I made the engineers all wear black boots, and we all started wearing old Nazi suits. So I said, let's do it. Damn democracy. It's all a load of flame and hypocrisy. Then I got me the master plan, playing all over Ireland, the RTE jam.
German national anthem and all. A real international flavour record. Big gobs, Julie, I'm really enjoying this.
Oh, are you, George? What about your hemorrhoids?
Ah, sure, they're enjoying it too.
So I gave the Irish a limited choice. They could listen to nothing or just one voice. RTE became number one, and we stayed that way by using the gun. Then the people went and they revolted, and the next I knew, Ted Neilan bolted. So Nova was back and back to stay, and the people of Dublin all screamed. I went crazy, I was totally insane. I tried to get run over by the Galway train. So to kill myself and avoid the pain, I turned on my radio and Jason May.
are now, Julia. What do you think of that now that it's all over, like?
Oh, George, that was very good, but what was it all about?
It was all about the RTE jam.
Oh, I didn't know you were into making food now.
So of course we're not into food at all, Julia, you old cowpat. Have you never eaten in the RTE canteen?
Oh, I thought the RTE canteen was in the Board for your good food guide, like...
Ara, don't be so stupid, you old technical difficulty. Sure, RTE couldn't even win the Catherine franchise for adults concentration camp.